Got Father's Day, so everybody gets to celebrate that. I'm happy about that. Brother Bradley, will you open us up in prayer? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 3. So I studied this. There again, I love when I mess up that I don't study all the time. I'm glad when I'm put on the spot and I have to study. Because when you have to study, you get a blessing. So that should make you want to study all that much more when you don't have to. That being said, I am guilty of not studying. And thank God that He makes me study sometimes. So that's my bad. This was one of those lessons that I really enjoyed. When I went into it, I thought, man, I got to cover 4 chapters, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh my goodness. I like the little 10 verse lessons. So you can kind of develop everything. But when you get on a bunch of chapters, it's a little tough to confine that. That being said, I'm going to try to go through this quick today, but at the same time, I want to get to the end because there's the end of the story. That being said, in Jeremiah 3, one of the things that I was impressed upon is the Word of God can be taught or preached in several different ways. You can take one verse and it can mean judgment. That same verse, if you don't have to twist it or rest it too hard, that it can also not mean judgment. It can mean love. There's the Word of God is alive. So it can mean many things. So that being said, when I looked at this, I first looked it over and I thought, oh man, this is going to be one of them things where, and I could rightfully teach it and not really twist it, and I think Brother R will agree, that it could be where I could bring this up to us today and I could preach judgment on the United States of America. And woe is us. But you know what? I'm glad that the Word of God also has another meaning. And today I'm going to take it from a historical measure. But just remember, such as things were, so can things be. There's nothing new under the sun. And as Israel went, so can Larry Jones go. So that being said, we're going to take a more of a historical view, and I'm going to try to teach you from that way, and I don't think I'll do it any injustice. Before we start, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "They say if a man put away his wife, and she go from him, and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord." Here we've got God as the husband. We have Israel and we have Judah. So remember, Israel was a northern kingdom. Judah was a southern kingdom. They're, to try not to do it justice, and Brother R, if I get out of the way, just throw something at me here. God's the husband. And he's married sisters. The one sister is Israel, the northern kingdom. And the other sister is Judah. And both of them have played the harlot. They have committed idolatry. If you go through and you study the scriptures, idolatry and adultery are very closely linked. Israel is dabbling in idolatry. And that to God would be the same as Teresa committing adultery to me. God's married sisters, got that in her mind, and they're committing adultery against God. I want us to go real quick to Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy 24. Bear with me as I find my way. Deuteronomy 24. In the law, it is written in 24, verse 1, "When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanliness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement, and give it to her hand, and send her out of his house. And when she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and give it into her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife after that she is defiled. For that is an abomination before the Lord. We'll stop right there. I could divorce my wife if I found her to be in adultery, and I could send her out. She is free to marry another man. If that other man finds her guilty of adultery, or if he dies and she is free again, I am not allowed to take her back under God's law. Now, what we're going to get in our heads as we go through Jeremiah 3, 4, 5, and 6 is that God is not above his law. This is not a one-sided law that God can break. God made this law. And God is going to be above his law. And God's going to keep his law. And this is the chilling part of what we're about to go into. Here, it is said, it is an abomination before the Lord. Israel is going to commit spiritual... Let's just go into it here. Chapter 3, verse 1 of Jeremiah. They say, if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return to her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Here God has caught Israel, and he has put up with it, and he has put up with it, and he has put up with it, and finally he said, enough. We're going to deal with this today. There is going to be a letter of divorcement. Israel, you went too far. Done. And Israel gets taken over by the Syrians, the northern kingdom. They're done. They're out of his house. He's washed his hand with them. God has left the building. Judah has done the same thing now. Judah is even more guilty. And let's just read this real quick. We'll go back to it. Verse 2, lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lean with, in the ways thou hast sat for them, as in the Arabian and in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead. Thou refusest to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry to me, my father? Thou art the guide of my youth. Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou could. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which... And I want you to start looking here and get this in your mind. It's going to be talking about Israel and Judah. It's going to make... Israel's going to have one thing said about it called backsliding, and Judah is going to be called treacherous. So let's read on. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She has gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me, but she returned not. And her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw, when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorcement. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said to me, The backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than the treacherous Judah. Backsliding Israel. Israel was cut off from Judah, and they did not have the temple. They did not have the Ark of the Covenant. They did not have all the sacrifices that went on there. They were cut off, and they were north. And they committed whoredoms. And God dealt with them because God had to deal with them. But they were backsliding. And they justified themselves for their destruction. But Judah is treacherous. Judah saw what happened. Judah knew better. And why did Judah know better? Because Judah's got Solomon's temple. Judah has got the Ark of the Covenant. Judah has got Jerusalem, the walled city. It's not that the problem with Israel was her husband wasn't there. The presence of God wasn't there. The problem with Judah was God was there. God's presence was there. The Ark of the Covenant was the presence of God. Got it? And yet they still decided, we're going to commit adultery. Remember in verse 1 a couple weeks ago when we started this, I said, even though the people went out in the groves, and even though the people in their houses committed adultery with the idols, the problem was they did it under the table. Because the nation itself, remember the young king? He said, we have found the word of God walled up in the temple, and we're gonna burn down all those places. We're going to tear down those groves, and we are going to worship the Lord God. And remember what trouble I said we had, because the government today has said that when the potentate, the president, whoever it is, says we are no longer a Christian nation, that's not idle words. Because from the words of the mouth of a king is power. And our king said that, and we're in trouble. Because even though we may mess up, when God won't judge us if the nation has a proclamation. But if the nation makes a proclamation, it's open for all of us. Spiritual adultery has happened here today. Now I'll get into that in a minute. But let's go back. It says here, treacherous Judah. The God has just now, in chapter 3, started the divorce process. He has filed the papers. And I'm afraid he has Pam Corbin as his attorney. So they always told me whoever got Pam Corbin as the attorney wins the divorce. So that's out there for everybody. But what I'm getting at is this is what chapter 3 is saying. This is the bill of divorcement. It's over. And he's sitting there and he's talking to him. Hang on a second. I want us to look into as we go into this. If we look into Psalms 19, it's in Psalms 90:10. It says, let me just go there real quick so I don't mess this up. Psalms 90:10 says, the days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. I could change this. I'm not going to. For your personal Bible study, study 70 years as your life, or as a lifespan of a generation, but also study 120 years, because after the flood, God shortened the years to 120. But if you take the 120 and the 70, you start adding them together, you get some prophetic stuff that's coming out in the future, and it needs to be studied because the years kind of line up to our days, and that's all another study. But right now I want us to look. Here we're going to have 70 years. So this Judah is being divorced. And if we go and we study a little further, we're going to find that Judah is going to be taken by the Babylonians. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come from the north. The Syrians got Israel. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians are coming for Judah. And they're getting ready to go into captivity for 70 years. So God's divorcement is going to last for this generation. So what God is doing, He's judging a nation, but He's bringing it down on a personal level. It's not only the nation Israel, but it's the people. So, when God's talking to a nation, He's actually talking to people. Verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family. I will bring you to Zion. I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it shall come to pass, when ye be multiplied and increased in the land in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord to Jerusalem. God has given them a bill of divorcement. He's going to put them into bondage for 70 years. At the end of the 70 years, the death of a person, the death of a generation, they're going to build a new temple. Zerubbabel builds a new temple. When he builds the new temple, guess what? There is no ark in it. When God divorces Israel, Israel is going to want to come back, because Israel is going to have led a life without God in bondage. It's going to be awful. She's getting kicked out of the house with nothing, out into the world, and the world is going to devour her. She's going to desire to come back to God. She's going to build a temple. But you know what? The ark can't go back. God in Deuteronomy said, you can't have her back. God is not going to let. Now, here again, let's listen to the rest of the story before we start judging this. The Ark of the Covenant, it is said in the book of Maccabees, which is not in this Bible, but it's another book out there. It said Jeremiah hid it. And I think it was in, was it Psalms or is it in Ezra where it said Jeremiah hid the ark? But it says somewhere that Jeremiah took it. I know that whenever Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple in Ezra, he said, I think, bring the Ark of the Covenant back, priests. And they never did it because I don't think they could, because they didn't know where it was. The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. God can't take her back the way it was. Do you remember when Samuel, they said, give us a king? And Samuel said, Lord, they want to get, they're refusing me, they want a king. He said, no, Samuel, they're not refusing you, they're refusing me. And God gave him a king. Okay? That was kind of the first step in this marriage problem that they had that ultimately wound up in this adultery. God has had to leave the building. Israel has to leave the land. This bill of divorcement, they're going to be taken over by the Babylonians, and they're going to be taken away. They have to leave the building. They have to leave the land. God leaves the building. They come back after a generation, the 70 years, and they rebuild the building, but God can't come back in it because Deuteronomy, he says, I can't do it. I want us to look in the book of Joshua. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I'm getting ahead of myself. Joshua 24. Let's go there real quick. Joshua 24. And I want us to see something. What did I say? Joshua 24. in verse 20. Joshua 24, verse 20. Joshua is getting ready to die. He's getting ready to go off the scene. He's talking to the children of Israel. He's saying in verse 20, "If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." "Now therefore, put away," he said, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, his voice we will obey." Verse 25. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took, and I want you to underline this, a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, and you can underline this, "Behold, the stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." So now, Joshua, as he goes off the scene, remember this is before Kings. We had Moses, Joshua, and then we had the judges, and then we had the kings. But Joshua has said, "This stone just heard these words today. I'm dying and passing away. I'm going to become dust. I'm going to be buried in this ground. But you know what? This stone is going to be here for many, 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 many generations. I dare say that that stone somewhere is on this planet today that heard those very words." Now, I want you to go to John chapter 10. Verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, "How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you believe not. Because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, and Jesus answered them, saying, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those do you stone me?" Then Jesus answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I have said ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. What I want us to look at right there is the Jews were looking for God. They said, if you're Messiah, tell us. Tell us plainly. And he's saying, I've done that. And here you're trying to stone me. The Jews went back into Jerusalem after captivity. The Jews, under Zerubbabel, rebuilt the temple. The Jews did not have the ark anymore. They did not have the presence of God. Now, God was still sovereign. God's still in control of the land. But God cannot be what he once was because of the law in Deuteronomy of divorcement. They have went so far that he cannot be in their presence in the way he was. But it just so happens that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all three the same. And God, who cannot lie and will keep his word, he says there's going to come a time that they're going to come to Jerusalem and they're not even going to worry about the ark anymore. They're not going to worry about it. They're not even going to say where is the ark. There's going to come a time when they're going to come not for the ark, but they're going to come for Jesus because he is present there. He forevermore will be their God and they shall be his people. Jesus is now on the scene. He and I are one. We're the same. You see, they had the temple. Zerubbabel built it. Herod rebuilt it. Jesus went in there and said, you've made my father's house. You see what I mean? The divorcement was the father divorced Israel. The father divorced Judah. But the son's not under that bill of divorcement. The son can come back. He can come. And he can marry everybody. He can marry Israel again. He can marry Judah. He can marry the Gentiles. You see, there is no ark. And as I read this and as I study it, I don't think they're ever going to find it. Indiana Jones ain't coming home with it. I don't think it's buried somewhere and somebody knows it. I think it's gone because God has left the building. Israel left the land. But when Israel, after it was beat up so long, came back and said, I want back into the covenant, God, he let them into the land. But by his own word, he couldn't come back into the house. But his son could. And he and the Father are one. No matter what we do in our life, we have a hope. Because when God left the building, he sent Jesus. We have hope in Christ. The law took us out. Christ put us back in. If Israel, and here Israel is going to stone him because they're still believing that we're going to get this Ark of the Covenant back. It's going to be like it once was. No, you've committed spiritual whoredom and you have been cut off. You have slept with your other gods. You have done what you're going to. You don't understand. Those days have ended. Just as you rejected God in Samuel's day and you wanted a king, God gave you a king. Guess what? God's going to give you a king. He's going to give you a king after the order of Melchizedek. A king that is going to be eternal. He's going to give you a real king. But you know what? You're going to have to go through Saul. Then you're going to get David. Then you're going to get good ones and bad ones. Until finally it's just going to all be a part of the divorcement. We're just going to take it out. But there is a king after the order of Melchizedek who's going to come back. A priest and a king. A priest and a king before there was priests and kings. The same. Just as God left the building and couldn't come back by his own law, Jesus came back in and brought it all back. See the picture that's given there? Let's go back into this. I'm getting off my thing here. I got 15 minutes left. Jeremiah 4. Verse 1. They say if a man put away his... No, sorry. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thy abomination out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in the truth, in judgment, and righteousness, and the nations shall bless him themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of your evil doings. It says here in verse 5, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense city. Set up a standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and the city shall be laid waste without inhabitants. In chapter 4, it says here, one last time, if you will return, if you'll just repent, but you're not going to. You're not going to. And that's part of the divorcement. He's making his case now. He's filed for divorce, and now he's making his case. Time after time, I said, if you would. If you do it just right now, before I sign the papers, right now. But you're not going to. Therefore, look to the north. Raise the standards. And when they raised the standards to the north in the city, what that meant was, and blow ye the trumpet, that meant that something was coming from the north. And that was part of, when they were in the city, they would raise the standards, these flags up and these staffs, and they'd blow the trumpets. And that would mean everybody that was outside the city, all those that lived in the country but were still part of it, you need to run inside the city for defense because something's coming. You need to be defended. You can't live without outside the wall. So he's saying, it's done. I'm signing the papers. Time for y'all to get ready because it's coming. It's coming from the north. King Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down and he is going to annihilate you. He's going to take you away. You're leaving this place. Get ready. Here, Israel and Judah had been married to a rich man, and now they've been cut off. No divorce settlement, nothing. Laid waste. You're going to be carried off. It's all gone. Not going to get no house in the settlement. You got to leave the land. Gone. Somewhere else. It says here, verse 19. Well, before that, in verse 7, it says, the lion is come up from his thicket. That's Nebuchadnezzar. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. There is something coming that is so fierce and so terrible. I mean, it's a lion. And it's coming. It used to be over there, but now, for some reason, it don't want to be there no more. It wants to be right where you are, and it's coming. You need to be afraid. The destroyer of the Gentiles. Nobody is greater than Nebuchadnezzar. You better be afraid. And guess what? God, who just divorced you, raised him up. And he raised him up to take you out. They're in a fearful place. It says here in verse 19, my bowels, I am pained at my very heart. My heart maketh a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace because thou hast heard, O my soul, and the sound of the trumpet and the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried. The whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people is foolish and they have not known me. They are a sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. And I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord in his fierce anger. For thus hath the Lord said, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. It says here that the standards have went up, the trumpets are blowing, they can hear their hearts beating inside of them because they're just so scared. You know how you are when you're about to have your bowels, you're fearful. And yet Jeremiah says, just as in the beginning when God said, let there be light, he says, there's going to be darkness. When God raised up the trees and the grass and brought plants and birds and creation, he said, I'm seeing the opposite of that. I'm seeing destruction. This is going to be like nothing you've ever seen. This is some scary stuff. Verse 28, it says, I got to hurry to get through all this. Verse 28, for this shall the earth mourn and the heavens above be black because I have spoken it. I have purposed it, and I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee from the noise of the horsemen and the bowmen. They shall go into the thickets and climb upon the rocks, and every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do, thou that closest thyself with crimson? Though thou deck thee with ornaments of gold, though thou rentest not thy face with the painting in vain, shalt thou make thyself fair. Thy lovers will despise thee. They will seek thy life. For I have heard a voice as of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her bringing forth her first child. The voice of the daughter of Zion that bewaileth herself, that spreadeth her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied because of my murderers. God said, you're going to cry, and I'm not going to hear you. You're going to cry, and I'm not going to come. You're going to cry, and there'll be no deliverance. This is judgment. This is divorcement. This is what happens when you go away from God and you say, I don't want you anymore. That's why I said we could take this to a point where America is in such a pitiful shape. But we're teaching this historically today. I want us to go in chapter 5, and we'll have to kind of get a little quick here. Chapter 5, verse 15. I'm going to skip over a few things for sake of time. It says here, chapter 5, verse 15, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say. I want you to see that this judgment is so vast and so terrible, because if we look today, if we have a problem with Russia, we got an embassy in Russia, don't we? We have politicians. Politicians like to talk a lot, don't they? They talk and they talk among themselves. And if they don't understand the language, they have interpreters. If you go to the United Nations, everybody's got headsets on, and when one man speaks, everybody's being interpreted to in their same, so they know what's going on. No, everybody hears through an interpreter. Okay, I can reason with you. Politicians can reason with other politicians. We have détente. We have treaties. We have all these different things. You know, we can get along. But God says in verse 15. He says, lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandeth what they say. You are about to be devoured by a terrible thing, more terrible than you can. To put it in Larry Jones's words, I am not going to be devoured by another person. What if it was me out in the middle of woods and there was a pack of wolves around me? Imagine yourself alone with a stick and 30 wolves around you and they're hungry. Do you think you're going to be able to pull money out of your pocket and say, Mr. Wolf, let me buy you some steak? Do you think for 1 minute he's going to understand you when he says, when you say, listen, I got this Rolex watch, and if you'll take this and let me go with my life, I will leave you in this pack of woods a Rolex watch that'll feed you for 30 days. He doesn't understand you, does he? If I was in the woods with a bear, I could not reason with a bear. I could not reason with a tiger. I could not reason with a leopard. I could not reason with this lion that's about to come out of the north. Israel, you have utterly no hope. You have not only pushed it to a point of divorcement, we've tried to reconcile this. I have tried to be your God. I have been faithful on my side, and you treacherously, even though you give me service of your mouths and openly you do it, you've still got these secret little places that you go and you commit your spiritual adultery. The bill of divorcement is signed, and this enemy you're not going to be able to deal with. This enemy is set upon devouring you. I'm about to close. We got to quit. Just as we go back, as we look at Jeremiah, just remember, God said, if you divorce her, you can't take her back. When God divorced Israel, the ark left Solomon's temple. The people left the land. The people tried to come back to God, but because of the bill of divorcement, we'll never have Israel and Judah the way it was. But God had a son. He and the Father are one. I don't have it. Let me see if I've got it in my notes, and I'll close on that. I don't know if I do. I thought I did. Hang on a second. Move my papers around. I want you to look at one thing. I didn't write it down, but when Jesus, we'll close right here. When Jesus was riding into the city on the donkey, he rode in as a king rides in on peace. He didn't ride in as a king to conquer. He was making peace. Rode in on the donkey. They were shouting hallelujahs and glory to him. What did the Jews say? The Jews said, you need to stop them from doing that. And what did Jesus tell them? Brother Bradley, what did he tell them? If they didn't cry out, the stone would cry out. The stones. Do you remember back in Joshua when he said, this day, that stone heard it? When Jesus rode in, that stone would have cried out. The bill of divorcement was final. But thank God we have Christ who came back into the building. And we are that building. This heart is that building. That's where we'll close. Father, thank you. Forgive me my sins. Bless us, Lord, as we go through today. Help us to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.